I'll go back to what I've said about NCAA programs. They all break rules. Some blatantly cheat. And there's a difference. Ham sandwiches, rides to the airport, that's breaking rules. If you're cheating.
If you're like SMU and you have a payroll
exactly.
set, that's cheating. Jeff Passan from ESPN, kind enough to join us right now on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Jeff, we appreciate the time. We were talking a little bit about Mike Fiers and his role in this entire deal. Is he supposed to say it publicly? Is he supposed to just tell the A's? How do you think that thing is going to go over with the players themselves?
You know, what's supposed to even mean, right? Like, when we're looking at this and this whole story is told, it cannot and will not be told without Mike Fiers. So while he's not supposed to say anything about it because he was on a team that was clearly participating in this, the exposure of this story is contingent and incumbent upon him saying something. So I think there's a moral imperative there that he does. But I'm not a baseball player, and I'm not a person who abides by this code that they all seem to take a blood oath in. So, no, he's not supposed to at all. But, yes, I'm really glad that he did.
I would think a guy that we have known for years in Brian McCann is going to have to talk about this sooner or later. And I would imagine,
I will say this right now. Brian McCann is never going to talk about this. Brian McCann did not talk with Major League Baseball about this because he is retired and had really no reason to. I have a difficult time seeing Brian McCann saying a single solitary word about
this. Well, I'll tell you why he may have to at least give it a no comment. He does a variety of charitable events in the city of Atlanta, and you know the media is going to be out, and they're going to ask him. Now, how he answers, that's up to him.
I suppose so. And it'll be interesting because unlike Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve and George Springer and all these other Astros players who are still active, he doesn't have a career left. And if he doesn't want to apologize for it, then he doesn't have to. I think that it's going to be an inevitability that the Astros players do come out and apologize. It's just a matter of time. I honestly don't know why they haven't all gotten together yet and done it. I think it's a truly wasted opportunity. This is America in 2020. The first thing you do is apologize. That is like rule number one. And if you have not learned that at this point, you're just not paying attention.
Well, rule number one is don't lie when they have the answers. That's the feds. And, Mike Vick, I think, paid a price a little bit with the NFL and certainly the feds themselves. So I think if they're asking, they probably have the answers. They're just looking to find out if you're going to tell them the truth. Do you think the Astros and or the Red Sox on opening day of spring training, because I know at least one facility, if there's shrubbery there, there's already people sleeping in it, waiting to pounce on the day that some of these guys walk into the building if they don't get them sooner. Do you think that they should just do a collective? And I mean, you have to sit there. It's no media relations guy who gets to say one more question. You sit there and you eat it until it's done. And then you can say, I've spoken to this, it's over. But they have to do that first day, correct?
That's not how it works, though, especially with the Astros. Like, well, let's remember the organization that we're dealing with here. This is the same team that took 6 days to apologize for smearing a reporter's accurate and correct story about what their assistant general manager did during a celebration in the ALCS. So the idea that the Astros are going to be savvy and do something correctly when it comes to the media is kind of far-fetched. And it's going to be interesting to see with the Red Sox where that investigation goes and the trajectory of it, because I'm getting the sense that it's not going to be nearly the same magnitude as the Astros. And I don't think the Astros are going to be entirely unique. I don't think it's fair to paint them that way, because certainly there were other teams that were using video to steal signs, but I don't get the impression that any were doing it to the extent that the Astros were, and taking that live video and feeding it directly to batters at the plate.
Quick questions, unless you have expanded answers. Do you think the commissioner did enough?
That's a hard question. I think he did what was in his power and what was prudent with the players. I think he did enough with the manager and the general manager. I don't think he did nearly enough with the owner.
Is it tokenism to physically ask for that trophy and tell him no signage? So he can't do that.
Completely ridiculous and empty.
I disagree with you, but I think the symbolism of you not having it in your building matters.
I think that's just symbolism, and I'm looking for action, not symbolism.
No, I want more action, but I'm telling you, you don't get to have the trophy.
But everybody gets to keep the money?
Yeah, listen, and here's my other question. Does MLB have the stomach to actually include players? Is that why players were precluded from any issue?
I don't think it's a matter of stomach. I think it's a matter of pragmatism. And I think there's honestly a very good argument to be made why players were not included. And if we had time here, I would be, if you want to give me time, I'm happy to go into that argument. And I don't know that I'm going to convince you, but I have been convinced.
Go ahead, Jeff. We'd love to hear why the players, you can't go that far.
I think you could. What I think you're doing is you are walking into an alligator pit if you do. What you want to do if you're Major League Baseball is get heads on pikes. I hate to say that. It's a pretty nasty thing to think about. But your incentive is to wrap things up as quickly as humanly possible and not have this absolute black eye drag on in the sport. And when Major League Baseball sent out the memo after the Boston Red Sox used an Apple Watch in August of 2017, that memo said to teams, general managers and managers, this is on you, and it is incumbent on you to tell your players that these are the rules. The Houston Astros players were never told anything about this. And so if you're Major League Baseball and you're walking into a grievance hearing, and there would very clearly be grievances filed by players if any of them were disciplined over this, you are walking into a minefield. Because if an arbitrator hears that these players were never told, how are the players then supposed to know? Are we to have the expectation that they understand the rules of Major League Baseball and that they hack into their boss's emails? Or are we to take a moral perspective on this, as much as we should, as much as I'd like to believe that players do? A, it's clear that they don't, and B, I'm not sure that that's a particularly reasonable expectation of them. And so when you have arbitrators sitting there looking at players who did not know what the rules were and were not informed about it, they are going to overturn those suspensions instantaneously. And the overturning of suspensions, to me, is going to look and be far worse than not having them in the first place.
Jeff Passan of ESPN and ESPN.com joins us. So let me just play off that for a second. If I'm a general manager, and I had even heard some nonsense that perhaps Luhnow didn't even open up an email or two that would have said this. I don't know if any of that's true. Why would you not, and this is where I believe your ownership problem comes into play, because it's lack of institutional control. If you're a general manager and a manager and you see that email, let's just go with the fact that you read that email. You mean to tell me that you don't go to players? I'm not saying, by the way, the Players Association should have got their own version of that letter. That's a misstep as well. But do you believe that general managers and managers in some clubs didn't go, hey, boys, let me tell you what I just got. Here's how it reads.
I think lack of institutional control is why Jeff Luhnow doesn't have a job right now. And I think that is a completely salient and astute point and something that speaks to the culture of the Astros, because the divide between the front office and the clubhouse, the way that Jeff Luhnow essentially boxed himself off, not just from the players, but from the vast majority of the organization, was part and parcel with the Houston Astros as they built up this monster. That's just the reality. And inside of an arbitration room, it's just not going to be a winning argument that the general manager just did it this way, and thus the players are immune from what the rules
are. Why didn't the Players Association get that same email or that same, let's call it a memo for lack of a better term?
I think because Major League Baseball saw this as the responsibility of the clubs. And I think that is a totally fair point and a mistake that the league made, that they should have included everybody in this.
Yeah, back in December, I said, I think there's going to be a second sign in clubhouses. They have to figure out what this is. If you do this,
oh, yeah,
you're out. But I physically think a second sign is coming. They've just got to make sure it's buttoned up a hell of a lot better than they handled this back in August of 17.
Yeah, I mean, let's remember, it's not a second sign, it's a third. No gambling, no steroids, no video.
Times will change, though, come spring training. Jeff Passan with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. So let's talk about the local team. We know Josh Donaldson's in Minnesota. What do you think plan B could be for the Braves, and could it still include Nolan Arenado?
You know, I think Nolan Arenado is going to take a little while, just because all of the insanity of yesterday with Jeff Breidich coming out and saying we're not going to trade him, and then Nolan Arenado coming out and saying not so fast, my friend. like it was kind of a joke the way that it played out, but this has been a powder keg that's been building for months now. And to see it go in that fashion was just, I think, a complete strategic misplay by the Rockies.
Well, it could have been strategically misplayed on a few fronts, but when he uses the word disrespect, I'm going with the assumption.
And then he says you can quote me on that.
Yeah,
to be sure.
I'm going with the assumption that somebody told him they were going to make moves in the offseason to make this better.
No, nobody said that. What they did is when he signed, they said, we're going to make moves to make this team better. And the Rockies are one of two major league teams right now, along with the Cubs, that have not made a single move this offseason. Funny enough, the Cubs are one of the teams that have been in on Nolan Arenado trade talks, and that's because they are open to moving Chris Bryant. And if I were to say who the likelier player to move to Atlanta would be, I would say Bryant.
Why is this idea of him, us all finding out, does he have 1 or 2 years? Doesn't this seem ridiculous that this one hasn't been settled yet?
Yeah, but when it comes to matters between the Players Association and Major League Baseball, ridiculous is par for the course. Like, but this will be settled. Bryant, I'm fairly confident in saying will not win this. I think that's the general expectation. And he will have 2 years left, and his trade value thus will be that much greater.
Okay. I'm not asking you to play crystal ball, but what is the package price? I don't know. I'm assuming you know the Braves farm system well enough to go, well, it has to be this guy or else the thing is off, if you have that opinion. What's the difference between Arenado, and I know it's a long-term deal versus Bryant, 2 and a walk, option for Arenado certainly changes the game as well. But if you're going to line up a package, which will cost you more? Which one will cost you more?
Bryant will cost more.
Because it's $40 million and then it's done?
Exactly. It's $40 million, it's done. You get a draft pick. Arenado is at worst $70 million.
Right.
Because he's making $35 a year for the next couple of years. And Arenado is a better player than Bryant. Uh-huh. No question about that. But the enormity of the money, and you could, if you're Alex Anthopoulos, go in there and say, hey, if he wants to come to Atlanta, great. One of the contingencies is that we're going to have to do something and get that opt-out taken out. We want him coming here for the long term, and we will give you more if that's the case. But I wouldn't, Christian Pache is not going anywhere. You could squint and see a Drew Waters moving. I think all of the pitching prospects, whether it's Ian Anderson or Kyle Muller or Kyle Wright, are on the table. Pache is the only one who really is off the table. I think he's just as a true elite center fielder already, and someone who's just coming into his bat right now, there's just too much value there.
It is crazy. Jeff Luhnow is the guy that I've quoted because he was the one that I heard say it. At some point, you have to trade prospects for parades. It is kind of hilarious that it was him now who threw that one out there in this conversation. But are you surprised that the Braves still have the bundle of prospects they have after a full plus year of Alex Anthopoulos and crew being here?
Why would you go and trade prospects if you don't necessarily have to?
We haven't won a title around here in 25 years.
Well, they might have to now.
With all due respect, there are people, myself included, I'll take the given over the, Jeff, I think the number that I came up with since 1990, pitchers that the Braves have drafted, three of them have won 50 games with the Braves. 50 games. I'm not saying 150. Three guys in 30 years that you've drafted have won 50 games in this uniform. Jason Schmidt did it someplace else. Adam Wainwright did it someplace else. I'm talking here. I cover this team, and I'm going to tell you that I'm in the boat that says 25 years is a long-ass time. I'm ready to find out if we're really close. Let's see if we can actually shove a few more chips into the middle.
And I guess that's the question. Is now the time, and the time is now for them to finally move some of these prospects?
I suppose that's that is my question as well. Why is December and January and February the right time when you can spend most of the season reasonably looking at what your deficiencies and weaknesses are and take these same prospects and get even greater hauls for them in July?
You might have then a huge belief in Camargo and or Austin Riley at third base, if that's going to be your philosophy going into the season.
Yeah, I just think I think it is a prudent thing baseball-wise to not fall victim to this notion of now is right. Now might not be right. Now might not be wrong either. But the idea that action is greater than inaction, I've just never ascribed to that.
Okay. Your words, I hope I don't spin them where I'm going to get jumped here. But the idea of now versus later, when is now not better than later? Like when I'm not really sure I'm following this, because I'm telling you, when you sit in a town where there's been one title since 1966.
I'm from Cleveland. Don't even give me this crap about when you sit in town. I'm very familiar with what it's like being in sports town.
So is Francisco Lindor?
No. So what I'm saying now versus later is that there's not this magical cutoff where before spring training you're not going to be able to make any moves during the season. Like, there are plenty of additions you're going to be making via trade, or you're going to be capable of making via trade during the season. And I just, the idea that you're going to do it right now because you need it, I mean, in your mind, because there's this existential threat to your sporting fandom because you haven't won something in X amount of years. I don't think making maneuvers because of desperation in a fan base is a prudent thing for an executive to do.
Yeah, I'm not asking for somebody to listen to somebody in Section 312 or me behind a microphone. I have one belief. Am I better today than I was yesterday? That's it. That's your job. Let me tell you what I love about Alex Anthopoulos. Nothing is leaked. In the 2 years he's been here, nothing is leaked. I find that fantastic. He doesn't owe me what he's looking at. He doesn't certainly owe me, hey, this is what's on the table, but we had to pull it back. That's his business. I'm not looking for that. I do think there's expectation, and the expectation is if you are allegedly 97 wins. Now, look, you had 26 minutes where goodwill went out the window. I don't want to chase goodwill, but that's a fact. You had 7 months of goodwill go out a window in 26 minutes last year in that last game of the year. That is part of a consideration. Why did you not win? Why did you not have a frontline starter or two? Why did you not have, I don't know, a Donaldson bat that only went 3-for-19? Can I go do better? Sometimes prospects do make you better. You seem to be denying the idea that a deal, and by the way, I don't want my guy snookered. He's not making a deal to actually appease me. I think he's making a deal to go win a World Series. Why is a prospect deal not one that could win you a World Series?
No, I think the fallacy is that this team is better if it makes a deal. That's not necessarily true.
Well, I'm better with Francisco Lindor. I'm better with Mookie Betts. I know for a fact in 2020, I am better with those guys. I'm not better with a guy. I'm not better with a guy running around in AAA.
Are you World Series winning better?
I don't know. Do I create my own break?
No. But that's exactly.
But how do I not take a shot? There's an expression: shoot your shot. I don't want stupidity. I don't want pell mell. But I want somebody to shoot their shot around here.
Yeah, do you know who shoots their shot? People who miss.
Well, not all the time.
Well, again, I think when you look at the situation at third base, they may be better served making a deal sooner than later, but we shall see. Jeff Passan, we appreciate the time.
Boys, pleasure is mine. Thanks.
Jeff Passan with us from ESPN on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Look, it's 50-50.
I don't want a dumb deal.
Yeah, sometimes you make the deal, it works. He's right. Sometimes you don't, but you can't assume it one way or another.